so excited.
Well, I'm excited, just things are a little bit different. Hey, it's not in the shtick. Listen, in the wrestling business, everybody had a shtick. They did what they did. You know, the Iron Sheik was Turkish. Y'all didn't know that, did you? People are like, who's the Iron Sheik? Some of you young, okay. Nikolai Volkov, you want to help me out? Some of you carnal folk. Nikolai Volkov, yeah, he was, I want to say from like Yugoslavia, something like that, you know. Well, everybody had a shtick. That's what religions become. Everybody's got a shtick. Everybody has an idea what they think it ought to be. And boy, people just, they just pander right along with it. They just go right along with it. You know, high energy, upbeat, happy-go-lucky, smiling. Listen, nobody lives that way 24/7. I mean, you think some of these guys get out of bed with their teeth brushed. They don't live real life. I'll tell you this, Pastor talked about it yesterday. That joy, but Dale was talking about that last night up at the batter's up. That joy that comes from within.
Yes, sir.
An internal joy.
Yes, sir.
It's real. The hardest trials of life, there's joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. I'm supposed to make an announcement. If anyone wants to leave, you're allowed to leave. There won't be any offense. Won't be any hurt feelings. I realize folks need to get up. Some might need to travel. We understand that. And so if you need to, listen, just leave quietly. There won't be any consternation. No discipline. We won't throw things at you. Nobody will stop you at the door. The doors are not locked, as far as I know. They are. That's probably against the fire code. But we just want to let you know that. Listen, there are folks that may need to leave. I'm notoriously long-winded, and that's just, well, the old timers would laugh at that. As I'm, you know, you preach 45 minutes, little sissy. That's what Cambodia, that's what they tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Preacher, you only preach an hour and a half. Are you tired? You know? I'm like, no, it's 102 degrees out. I'm not tired. So anyway, but if you need to, that's fine. Let's do this. Take the Bibles out and let's go to the New Testament somewhere. I think we'll start about Matthew. Just jot down a couple things with the Lord's help in Matthew chapter 5 again. I do want to say this. I don't know if my other nieces might be watching. We send an invitation, let them know. But one of my favorite nieces is here this week. I'm thankful for that. Just want you all to know that. I have a couple favorite nieces, and one of them's here tonight. We're grateful for that. Yes, it's you. Yes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. And then he said this, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Bible says to do good unto all men, especially those who be the household of faith. We're in a day when it seems like a lot of people really only like people just like them. I'll be honest, I don't like me enough to like people just like me. I've had people tell me, I've actually had a man say, I don't understand why you put up with me. He said, you're complete opposite of me. And I said, because I need somebody, and I'm being serious, to balance me out. A lot of people only like to be around people just like them. It's like a friendship checklist. Do you meet this requirement? Can I say things ought not so to be in the house of God, amongst God's people that way?
That's right.
God in his love and true love reigns on the just, God reigns on the unjust alike. I said probably in this pulpit, I've never gotten home and seen my grass green and my neighbor's grass brown. Never seen it. God cares for them as he cares for us. Listen, we surrendered to go full time on the road almost 14 years ago. Next month will be 14 years ago since I walked away from the life I knew. And listen, God's taking care of us. God's met our needs. But you know something that amazes me? God's also met the needs of my neighbors. And God's met the needs of wicked people. God's met the needs of people all around us, not just the McVeigh's needs. God's met people's needs everywhere we go. Americans are fatter than they've ever been because they have more food than they've ever had. God not only meets my needs and provides for me, but God provides for those that hate him. God provides for those that curse him. God provides for those that mock his name. That is perfect love. And so it ought to be with us. For he said it on this wise, he make the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Again, I've never seen a sunrise that didn't fall across my neighborhood. I wrote write a little song there. I've never seen the sun come up in the sky and the McVeighs walking in this glorious sunshine with that upbeat positivity I've newly acquired, and the rest of the neighborhood be dark. No, why? God is a loving God, a caring God. But can I say this? He said, even the publicans, they love them which love you. They love them that love them. You know, people with money love people with money because they just pat each other on the back with it. I've seen over the years, people that have money just seem like they use that money to just sometimes just buy friendship. Again, I'm not mocking. There's been a scandal recently in the news of religious organization, a religious place. And one of the scandals was over the country club. Another scandal was over the vacation yacht and the things that went on their vacation yacht. Do they really care about the impoverished of Lynchburg, Virginia? Do they really care about the down and outer of Lynchburg, Virginia? Will they walk amongst the impoverished of this world? No, they will not. But God did. He came to his own received him not. So who did he go to? Well, we'll talk about that with the Lord's help. In verse 47, as ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Listen, I've been doing this a long time now. I've watched people get the cold shoulder at church because of who they are. It ought not to ever be. It ought not to ever be. But I've watched as people salute the brethren and they just love the brethren and they love. I've watched people, they just love the evangelist. Oh, we love the evangelist. Oh, he's such a, we love the evangelist. But then they treat their pastor like a dog. It ought not to be so. Because he said that's what the publicans do. It's easy to love people that love you. It's easy to love people that bless you. It's easy to love people that puff you up. But he said to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What is that despitefully using? They willfully use you to a means and then discard you when they're done. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Sure. Pray for them. Love them anyway. A dear pastor friend of mine, he's taught me valuable lessons concerning those things. I want to thank God for him. I don't know how many times people have refused to pay their rent and he was too kind to evict them. They destroyed his rental properties. He'd raise them up in prayer before the church. He put a man, gave him a place to live, hired him, paid him. The man rewarded him by walking off with thousands of dollars worth of tools. They were gone. They just disappeared. The man disappeared. He stayed in church and asked for prayer for that man. It's a tremendous help to me as a young preacher. You pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. It's easy to pray for each other. It's easy to love each other. It's easy to love people that bless you. But this is what he said to the publicans. They salute the brethren. They love those that love them. But you don't want to be like a publican. We're going to talk about the Lord's help, the life of the publican. Matthew chapter 11. For John came neither eating nor drinking, verse 18 of Matthew 11. And they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Go back to Matthew chapter 9. We'll see part of the interaction that Jesus had with publicans and sinners. In verse 9 of Matthew 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Now I want you to note this. What is the receipt of custom? Well, it's pretty simple. It's where the custom is received. It's where you're given a receipt for your custom. You pay custom to those custom is due. He is, for better lack of a more modern terminology, I guess, but he is a tax man. He is a collector. He retakes the receipts. Matthew seated at the seat of custom, the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Jesus speaking to Matthew, follow me. And he arose and followed him. There you see, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, I said oftentimes, I don't find where Jesus sought them out. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. But when it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house, men came to him. You see in the life of Jesus Christ, when he would go to someone's house, in this case, he's in a publican's house. And others hear of that. So what does it do? Publicans and sinners come to the house. I had a sinner come to my house recently. He was traveling. We were at home. I said, why don't you come preach on our back porch? So what did I do? I invited publicans and invited sinners to our house. So it would be said of us, the McVeighs dined with publicans and sinners. And then I had that sinner, saved by the grace of God, preach to the rest of the publicans and the sinners. Some were converted. Some were unconverted. But we did that in the house. It would be noised abroad. Some people didn't dress appropriately for the occasion. Some people didn't have church clothes on. Some people didn't have modest clothes on. Some people didn't have a clean heart, but they came to the house to hear an old sinner preach to them. What a reproach. Especially during COVID. Well, I told people we'd have it on the back porch, but it was, 97 degrees and 6:30. I told that old sinner, I said, hey, we're going to just go inside, and he was quite relieved. So we put 32 people, I think it was, in our house, and Brother Dale Moore, he sat, and he preached to them, and he preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to them. People came to hear. He's dining with publicans. What an awful reproach. He's eating with sinners. What a terrible reproach. This is what it said. Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Who does he think he is to eat with a publican? Who does he think he is to eat with a sinner? I heard a guy one time, he preached on the publicans and the Democrats, but I'll leave that alone. Amen. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. Yes, sir. Right. Publicans are sin sick. They're not whole. They need a physician. Sinners are not whole. They need a physician. So he tells them they're not whole. They're not complete. There's something missing in their life. That's why they've come to dine with me. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we see Jesus is dining with publicans and sinners. They've come to where he is. He's called one Matthew. He's called him. When he goes to his house, other publicans and sinners, can I say it on this wise? It may possibly be there's a level of comfort. They've been shunned by the Pharisees. They've been shunned by most religion. But now, one of their own has Jesus at their house. There is a little bit of a comfort there where they feel comfortable. They can come and dine with this Savior, and they can be seated with the Savior. And not only that, when they're attacked by the Pharisees, he defends them to this end. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Amen. Yes. And that's still the message today. Can I say this? I've said for many, many years, sinners ought to be uncomfortable in the house of God, but never because of us. They ought to be uncomfortable because of this, not because of us. I was down in South Carolina, and if you're watching, Brother Frank Townsend gets his great ideas. He says, Brother McFay, why don't you go with me over to the Low Country Preachers Fellowship? And I don't even think he goes anymore, but so I said, I'll go along with you. Well, you have to know the Low Country. And little girl walks in, skin tight blue jeans, and can't find a seat. So she's just walking up and down the aisle looking for a seat. And there are men with getting bruised ribs and sore ribs, and women just shaking their head in disdain and disgusted. And I mean, just it was just all up and down the aisle. Every preacher's wife's elbowing her husband, and he has to stare at the ceiling. I mean, they're just, I see them just looking her up and down. Who in the world do you think she is? And oh, I know the man's name, I'm not going to say it publicly, but I want to say thank God a man of God got in the pulpit and just cut them to pieces about that snide attitude, about that arrogant attitude, and talk about God loving sinners. But you realize that goes on in most churches.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it does.
There's not love for sinners. Who are they to come amongst us? Who are they to defile us? Who are they to step foot in this place? But Jesus Christ loved them. We turn again, if you would, let's go to Matthew 9:9. I'm going to read that verse again. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Matthew 10:3, he says this of him, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican. Jesus Christ called a publican to be his disciple. Amen. I want you to see secondly then in Luke Let's go to Luke, or Mark, excuse me, chapter 2. Lay a little bit of groundwork in this. Just Mark chapter 2. And verse 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Now listen, not one, but two publicans. You know why Jesus loved publicans? Sure. Jesus Christ loved sinners. So we see Levi again, and Jesus Christ passes by, he's sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in his house, I just marvel the goodness of God. I marvel as this man is seated at the receipt of custom. Now listen, I know the difference between Matthew and Levi. You all be okay. Two times it's spoke of in this gospel. Two times he speaks of Jesus Christ passing by that receipt of custom and calling him. And two times he assures us of this. He was a publican. Two times Jesus Christ steps out and explains us. Two times that it's mentioned, explained to us that Jesus Christ stepped out in front of men that despise publicans and despise sinners, self-righteous men, indignant men. And two times we read that account, he went down to the receipt of custom and looked a man in his eyes and called him and went to his house and dined with him. We see the second account. You know why? Jesus Christ had an interest in the publican. Jesus Christ had an interest in the sinner.
Yes, thank you.
You realize what Jesus did? When he called that man out of the receipt of custom, he made him his disciple. There's more to it than just the temporal. There's more to it than just for those 3.5 years on earth. There's so much more to it. To be Jesus Christ's disciple is a position of honor for eternity. But yet he called a publican. As we read those accounts, and you'll see that he goes down to his house and he dines with him. And he goes down to his house and other publicans come and other sinners come. And they come, and again, they try to rebuke Jesus Christ. And again, he tells them, we read the account again where he speaks and says, I am the great physician. I came to call sinners to repentance. But yet, men wouldn't take heed to that message. And men are still not taking heed to that message.
Right.
Men are still not letting Jesus Christ speak to them in that manner of that message.
Right.
Now, I want you to take note of this. Let me go to Luke chapter 5, if you would. In verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he rose, he left all. You notice that? He left all. Rose up. And followed him. When he called him, he left everything. When Jesus Christ spake to him, he left everything that he had. He rose and followed Jesus Christ. Then he prepared a great feast. Then he prepared this marvelous feast where sinners came and where the other, if you will, the taxmen came and the other receipt collectors came. They were called publicans. And Jesus Christ is preaching to him, and he sees that account again and again and again. He emphasizes that account. Why? Because one of these days he's going to go find another publican. His name is Zacchaeus. And when he finds Zacchaeus, he's going to tell him to come down. Again, he's going to come to where Jesus Christ is. And he emphasizes over and over and over again in the Gospels, listen, I'm a friend of the publican. I'm a friend of the sinner. And then again, for the second time, we see Jesus Christ call a publican. He calls Zacchaeus. Tells him to come down. Lets him know this time, I'm going to your house. I'm heading to where you are, Zacchaeus. Yet the message has never changed. But men still won't heed the message. Can I say this? I find that interesting. As Jesus Christ preaches, he's preaching to publicans and sinners, and the message is the same to all men everywhere.
Oh, yes, sir.
To repent. That message is mocked today. That message is scoffed at today. That message is cursed even today. There are men today that say repentance is a work salvation. For years, men have been saying repentance is not required for salvation. There are men actually now have lists on the internet of churches that preach repentance and call them heretic churches. There are churches today that have websites that list the names of preachers that preach repentance, and they'll say, this guy preaches repentance, he's a repentant. Finally, one day, I stumbled on this website. I sent him an email. I said, listen, please add my name to your website.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. You know why Jesus preached repentance? Because that's always been the message.
That's right. Got that right.
He emphasized in Matthew. He emphasizes over and over again in the story of calling him and speaking to him and ministering to his needs. He tells us again and again, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And finally, we see him call again. He calls a public and he calls him out of a sycamore tree. And he calls him to repentance. And he said this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yes, sir.
He said, publican man, I've come to seek and to save. I'm calling you because I've come to seek you out and to save you, publican man. Yet the Pharisees scoff, the Pharisees mock, they will not receive, they will not hear. Their self-righteousness is blind to their eyes. Their love of self has closed their eyes to the needs of sinners. They wouldn't do one thing to raise a hand to help a publican. But do you realize that they needed Jesus Christ? They wouldn't do one thing to help an old sinner, but do you realize that they needed Jesus Christ? So you know what most people are today? Let's just be honest about it. The Pharisees. Did you see where he went? Did you see where they're going? Did you see who they had in church? Did you see who they had over? Did you see how she was dressed? Yeah, she's a sinner. Did you see how he was clothed? Yes, he's a sinner. Did you smell liquor on his breath? Yes, he's a sinner. He smelled like cigarette smoke. Well, most sinners do. She was dressed immodestly. That's what sinners do. You see, the Pharisees had it all cleaned up on the outside. They had that white as sepulchre, but full of dead men's bones on the inside. The feast was given. The feast was offered. They could have come. But instead, they stood on the outside speaking to his disciples. Jesus hears them and responds. They that are whole need not a physician. They that are sick. What's a Pharisee going to do with that? I'm whole. I'm a pretty good person. I got this figured out. My wife and I have often discussed. It's easy, and listen, I try not to take advantage of this. I've used it because it's a reality. For instance, with Brother Dale and his testimony. People love that idea of a gangster getting saved and a convict getting saved and a changed life and his family put back together. The love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. They love that idea. But how much better would it be if that was a testimony of somebody raised in the house of God?
That's right. Come on. Oh, yes, sir.
Yes. And never smoked.
Yes.
Never drank.
Yes.
Never beat up an old lady. Never stole a wallet. Mm-hmm. But I was a sinner.
Yes, yes.
Went to the marriage altar pure, but I was a sinner.
Hey. Yes.
was honorable to my parents, but I was a sinner.
Yes.
I was just a lying, conniving, wretched sinner.
Yes.
How many people would drive to hear that? I never drank, never smoked, never did drugs, never lied, never stole, never cheated. But you know what I was? I was wicked.
Yes, sir.
I was a Pharisee. You see, it's easy to see, Brother Dale, those outward things. You know, I think I showed you one time one of those old wrestling pics. I won't show them too much. Just goofiness, just absolute foolishness. Kind of those old pics of you, you know, kind of stuff. Anyway. It's marketable. People love that market.
Yep.
I've had guys ask me to use that. And I've told them, no, absolutely not. That's not going to attract anybody. That's not the attraction.
Yeah.
It's not a gimmick. What if you had your poster? You know, this is a young man that lived clean, lived holy, was sanctified unto Christ, never kissed a woman until he went to the marriage altar, never put a cigarette in his lips, but got born of God.
Yes.
And he was a Pharisee. Put that on the poster. Come see the Pharisee. Come see a man who was a lying, hypocritical Pharisee that got saved. Well, nobody would come because that's them.
Ooh-wee. That's right.
Why don't I go see that? I live it. I am that. Why would I go listen to this guy say so? I can look at my own life. That's who Jesus Christ came to seek and to save.
Yes, thank you.
You see, it was that which was lost. You can't get found till you get lost. I've told a story of Miss Hope many, many times. I'll never forget her. Her daughter went walking in the Smoky Mountains, teenage girl, went ahead of the group, and never saw her again. She was lost. You hear me? She was lost. They never saw her. They scoured the woods, dogs, teams. They searched those hills, they searched those ravines, they spent months searching. Every time they'd find a corpse somewhere unidentified, within a couple hundred miles, they'd test and try to find out if it was a teenage girl. She never saw her daughter again. She was lost. And we use that term, lost, so flippantly. But that's lost. You know, Jesus came to seek, who came to save, that which was lost.
Amen. That's good, brother.
When there's no hope,
yes,
when everything else is run dry, all of a sudden a man walks around the corner of a rock and there sits a little child beside that rock. Son, are you lost? I'm lost.
Thank you, Jesus.
I came to seek you and to find you. You know what he's called? A savior. You know why? Because he's come to save that which was lost.
Yes.
And all the homecoming, and all the joy, and all the joy of a one sinner that repenteth. You see now why there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons having no need of repentance?
Yes. Yes.
That's why there's joy in the presence of the angels, because my son was lost. And he's found. And he's seeking that one that's lost. But it's so flippant today. You can see the trail, but you're lost. You can still see the Shoney's parking lot, but you're lost.
Oh,
Like my brother David Vernon said, some people just aren't lost enough to be lost. But you get lost, you know what you do? You get desperate. You know what lost people do? Help. Help. That's what some of you ought to be doing.
That's right, yeah.
It's a desperation of being lost. I've seen a little child, a little older than that, frantically running through Walmart, crying, sobbing. Walmart employees chasing him, trying to catch him, yelling, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." There's a franticness to it. Mommy was two rows away, but he couldn't see Mommy. Mommy came around the corner of the rack, and it was a homecoming. Mommy had oblivious to what's going on, but that child throws her arms around her mommy and hugs her, weeping and sobbing. Mm-hmm. She was lost.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ came to call that sinner, to seek that sinner. And he came to save that sinner.
Amen.
And you can be a Pharisee on the outside looking in all you want. But I've identified myself with sinners because I've been a sinner. And I didn't have anybody to help me along the way. But a merciful God would send people one by one into my life and sow the seeds of the Word of God in my heart.
Yes, sir.
And water the seed of the Word of God in my heart. And one day I was good and lost. And somebody walked around the corner and said, "You're lost, aren't you?" And I said, "I'm lost." And he said, "That's what I've been looking for. Somebody that's lost." He picked me up, washed me off, gave me food, gave me bread, gave me water. He took me to a safe place. And it was great rejoicing in the presence of the angels. You know why? Because that one sinner repented.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be contentious unduly. I don't mind being contentious. Luke chapter 7, in verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, "Whereunto this shall I liken the men of this generation? What are they like? They would not." Can I say it on this wise? Get lost. They would not receive the counsel against themselves. When a man stood and told them, that's what he said. Publicans and harlots will go in before you.
Yes, sir.
They'll go in before you. You know why? Because they know they're lost. But the Pharisees don't know they're lost. They've steeped themselves in religion.
Sure.
They're under a cloak of religious sanctimony and they can't see their need. But the public has been ripping people off for years. They've been dipping in the till for years.
Sure.
They've been lying and scheming and robbing. Why do you think Zacchaeus, first thing he did when he came down, was, "I'm going to restore fourfold. That was I've taken." Why did he say that when he came down? Because he's been robbing people. What is Matthew, Levi, what does he do at the tax collectors? What does he do skimming off the till? They hate him. They despise him. They despise the publicans. They despise the harlot. Everybody knows who they are, but there's no shame. He's the least in the kingdom. God is greater than he. Speaking of John. And he goes on and says, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. You know what Jesus Christ was telling them? You're lost. You're lost. You're not whole. You need a physician. You ever hear people refuse to take the doctor's advice? It cost them their life. I personally knew a man who refused to go to the hospital. And it was a massive heart attack. And he died. He refused to go to the hospital. Well, that'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty foolish of us, wouldn't it? But how about spiritually?
That's right. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Exactly right.
Jesus Christ is telling him, you're lost. I've come to seek and to save, but you won't get lost. You're a Pharisee. You're a lawyer. I've come to show you. I've come to show the publicans. I've come to show the harlots. I've come to save sinners, but you're not a sinner. Yet they've offended in every point of the law. But they're not a sinner. A lot of characteristics of the Pharisee, and my goodness, we don't have time to go into that. We read the verse yesterday, but there's publicans and harlots enter first from the kingdom of God. They'll enter in long before the Pharisee. I think it's because they're so close to seeing their need, and the Pharisee's far from seeing his need.
Yes, that's right.
I could have been that little church boy. I could have been that little church boy that got converted. I could have been that little church boy that never took a cigarette, never took a drop of drink. I could have been that little church boy that waited for the marriage altar in purity. I could have been that little church boy. God dealt with me when I was 16. God dealt with me, put me under conviction. But I didn't want to get lost. I wanted the pleasures of sin for a season. And that season ran out. For 9 years after God dealt with me, I floundered in sin. All of those things I spake of fled from me. I could have been that preacher to stand in the pulpit and warn young people, you don't have to live that life. And I could have done it with all purity and all holiness. I could have done it saying, I've never done it. I could have said, I don't understand Brother Dale's testimony. I could have said, I don't understand Brother Ronnie's testimony. I could have said, I don't understand some of these people's testimony. I never got involved in those things. I never got in those type of sins. I never crossed those lines. Listen, I tried to walk with God. God saved me. As a teenage boy, I never went to a life of sin. And God cleansed me and washed me and made me clean. And there's joy in that. I could have been that preacher. So could the Pharisees. One of them was. I said one of them was. But it could have been long before the Damascus Road. But he wouldn't receive that counsel. God's trying to tell people, this is what you are, this is where you stand.
Yes, sir.
And they don't want to believe God.
God.
Number one excuse, I've done that.
Yeah.
I've already done that.
Yes, sir.
I did that already. Why do I need to do it again?
That's
Lorani, you were talking yesterday. I knew a woman in her early 90s that had a heart attack in the hospital, very sick. She called for a pastor who was her son. He went to the hospital. He said, I just want to make sure I'm really saved. Now listen, you all have been educated at the feet of the Word of God. How do you do that? How do you make sure you're saved? You pick this up. You know how the rest do it? Tell me what I need to do. Well, if you pray, I did a long time ago, but I want to make sure. So they pray again and again and again. They pray something like this, Lord, if I'm lost. Ask Miss Hope's daughter if she was lost. She was lost. That little child in Walmart was lost. There was no hope without intervention. You say, Mama was just 2 aisles away. Jesus Christ stands at the door and knocks.
That's right. Mm, that's right. Mom. Yes, sir, brother.
He's not a distant God.
Mom, that's right.
He's a close God.
Yes.
He's a holy God.
Yes, help us, Lord.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will what? Hear my voice. I will come in and sup with him. Matthew. Follow me. And he left all. And he followed him. What did he do? He supped with him.
Sure did.
Lazarus, excuse me, I get confused. The guy in the tree, Zacchaeus. Come down. Okay, Lord. What did he do with him? He supped with him. You know what happened to Zacchaeus up in a tree? You bear with me on this. I think he just got good and lost up in a tree.
Amen.
What happened to the thief on the cross? You can say it was desperation. You can call it what you want. You know what happened on the cross? He got good and lost. You'd have that Ethiopian eunuch out in the wilderness. He was good and lost. I have no other hope. How can I? So some man show me. I've come this far. I don't need to repeat a prayer.
That's right.
I don't need to go through the motions. Exactly. I just need some man to show me. Who is this man I'm reading? Philip preached Jesus Christ to him. You know what happened to Pentecost? 3,000 got lost. I need a Savior. I need this Savior. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. James chapter 4. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God resisteth the proud. That resistance is God. He giveth grace unto the humble. Our dear preacher man is real. He's the real deal. He spoke of a lady at the altar one day, literally trying to get underneath the carpet under conviction. He said, literally, she was scrambling like at the edges. She was trying to get underneath the carpet. She told the pastor, thank you. She said, I can't get any lower than what I've got. She said, but I'm so proud. It's not the physical attribute of trying to get lower, but it's in the heart. If your heart can just get lower, he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Can I tell you, I remember the first time I humbled myself in the sight of the Lord. I can remember it clear as a bell. You know why? It was the moment I was born of God. I had nothing left. I had nothing for him. I had no more self-righteousness, no more self-pity, and nothing else to cling to. But I humbled myself in the sight of God. You know what he did? He lifted me up. He seated me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He quickened me, made me alive in Christ. Can I say this? I've been supping with him ever since. Had fellowship with him this day. Had fellowship in this blessed book with him. But he came to call sinners. Where do you stand? What's your position with him? Pastor Hank, Fenix, thank you.
Talk with him, interact with him, tell you what it is.